we get things underway this afternoon by welcoming into the program our friend Nick Coit of ABC6 in Providence. Hey, Nick.
Hi, Rich. What's going on?
Oh, you know, doing the thing, getting by as we can here. How's everything in your stretch of the woods?
Great. Everything's good. I'm glad the weather has warmed up. We're making our way outdoors and doing it as safely as possible. It is nice that sports is starting to trickle back into the picture as well. So slowly but surely. But I hope you guys have been okay, been well. Your families have been well, and you've been able to get through here the past few months.
Yeah, so far so good. But still, as you said, trying to play it smart and do the right thing. But sports beginning to show signs of getting back at it at various stages along the way. And I know you're a big baseball guy. How disappointing has this been to you to see these two sides, from my perspective, really squander an opportunity?
You know, I love baseball, Rich, but it's like that relationship with that girlfriend. You just, man, it's been so great for a long, long time, and now it's just like, oh, man, you roll your eyes at everything that happens. It's like, what now? What next? You know, it's like, man, oh, man, you just can't see eye to eye, and that's just what it looks like here with baseball. It just seems the owners and the players are just going back and forth, and I don't want to hear any more proposals, and I think a lot of fans feel the same way. We're done with proposals. You got to get something done here, guys, because you're really alienating. Even the people that are loyal to baseball are coming out, and some of the big voices and big names around the game. You know, I see people like Jason Stark and Ken Rosenthal and guys like that who are just so loyal to the game and tell the stories of the game so well. They're even coming out and saying, okay, guys, let's go. Let's get a deal done, because every other sport is moving toward returning and getting back to normal, while baseball just continues to haggle over money, which, hey, listen, I know that they're in a different spot than the other leagues because those players have been paid for most of the season. So, yes, different situation, but you know what, Rich? There's a lot of people that are out of work in this country right now. So listening to baseball players, owners haggle over money, not a good look.
No, I like your analogy, too. It's you're thinking to yourself, what did I ever see in this game?
Right. There was a time. There was a time.
Yeah.
It was, boy, madly in love. But now it's like, man, we got to make some changes here.
Yeah. Now, Rob Manfred today says 100% certainty there will be a season. But if it's a 50-game season, which is essentially, I think, just a money grab to get to the playoffs, how much credibility would any champion have? And how much damage does this do going forward when they've got to find some common ground on a collective bargaining agreement next year?
Well, I think the damage really has been done with the fan base. Because even right now, say they were to come to a deal, you know, tonight or tomorrow or something like that, I'm sure a lot of fans will just say, oh, great, finally, you know, they'll be rolling their eyes, and I think they'd be happy to have baseball. But if it's a mandated 48 games, it's not a good look, because nobody came to an agreement. It was mandated. So the players were told they have to go out there. And so there's still dialogue that needs to happen, and there's still things, concessions, you name it, that both sides are going to have to make. And I get both sides here, but just the fact that it's played out so publicly, Rich, that's been the discouraging part, is that you've got players tweeting about the owners and their money and their side and whatnot, and Blake Snell and on Twitch saying, I'm going to get paid and all that stuff. And, you know, the owners continue to throw out offers that are pretty much the same offer, just in different ways. It's just rewritten with, you know, different numbers and whatnot. So it's just, when it's played out this publicly, it's ugly, and there's a long way to go.
We're talking with Nick Coit here on Downtown. It seems of all the sports, basketball has had the best plan and has handled this, I think, most appropriately. And is that because they have the best commissioner?
Well, you know what? Adam Silver, I think, has done a really good job. And I think the players, too, realize that they want to get back out there and realize the spotlight they can get. I think the other sports, you know, I think baseball could look at those sports and say, boy, we need to model ourselves in terms of, you know, the perception and the opportunity to get back out there and get the spotlight. People are craving sports. And that's the thing that baseball doesn't get, that the NBA gets, and that I think it's been a smart plan, too. They've been talking. The communication has been good with the commissioner, with the owners, with the players. And the players, there are some players that have some hesitation, and you get that, and you understand that. But I think, in general, the goal is, hey, we want to get out there, we want to play, we want to finish this season, and we want to crown a champion. And so that's why they've been able to come together and make this plan. And secretly, I think Adam Silver and a lot of the league probably likes the fact that, hey, if this all works out, we can start the new season in December, see what it's like, because there's always been talk maybe they started around Christmas Day because that's a big day for the NBA. So I just think they see the opportunity there, and it is a credit to Adam Silver. And you know what? Hey, credit to Darth Bettman, Gary Bettman, too, the NHL commissioner, because they were the first ones that came out and said, we have a plan to return to play. And I give them a lot of credit. And I like the plan. I think they're still formulating it. They're still talking about it. They still have to determine the cities. But they're coming out with camp dates. They're getting players back out on the ice. This is all good. It's all healthy. And it excites fans to know that they're doing this in the safest way possible while also knowing what fans want to see, and that's the games and the players and teams back.
I've had no doubt from day one that the NFL would return in some fashion, because that game's bigger than public health, for God's sake. So they'll figure it out and get out there. And so when football starts, and whatever it looks like this year, how good, how bad will this Patriots team be?
You know, I think we are... It's tough to say, because I think maybe some people are going a little too far and saying, man, they're going to stink. But I think some people are maybe higher on them than maybe the majority thinks. But I think it's somewhere in the middle. What it comes down to for me for the Patriots next year is their schedule, because no matter how good or bad they might be on the field, their schedule is brutal. They're playing some tough road games. That road swing in L.A., they did catch a break by having the two L.A. games back-to-back with a Sunday and a Thursday. Mm. But having to go to Seattle, having to go to Arrowhead, now, granted, how big are those crowds going to be? I'm not sure. It's early in the season. They may luck out there. But still, you're going to have maybe, most likely, a young quarterback under center. So it's going to be difficult, but I think with the veteran leadership they still have on this team, you know, with Devin McCourty and with Matthew Slater and with guys like that still around the squad, I still think they have an opportunity to be very competitive, and with the expanded playoff field, a playoff team. I really believe that. And what it comes down to ultimately, too, is coaching. And Bill Belichick is still here. And if Belichick wasn't here, okay, my perception might be a little different, but I think you have to believe in that guy, just the way he's run this operation the last two decades, that, you know, even without Tom Brady, I think this is a great new challenge for him, and I think he'll rise to the occasion.
Would it make any sense for them to bring in Colin Kaepernick for a tryout, and do you think there's a chance of that happening?
I think it would absolutely make sense, and I think there could be a chance. You're a team that, yes, you have a young quarterback. You may have a plan with Stidham, but working out Kaepernick, why not? That's what I say. Why not? And boy, I think if you're a team that does bring him in for a workout, I think it's good on you. I think it shows that the team is not afraid to bring him in and, you know, give him the opportunity that, you know, he's been working toward, because he's still been working out. He's had these workouts before the last couple of years. And, you know, I think with the recent, you know, advances here with the Black Lives Matter movement, I think somebody's going to bring him in. I think somebody's going to bring him in for a workout and give him the opportunity. Is he still the Colin Kaepernick that led the 49ers to the Super Bowl? I don't know. He did, on the field, you know, he had a tough stretch where, you know, the 49ers, they didn't continue to go with him at quarterback.
Right.
So, I think it would make sense if a team like the Patriots that's searching for the next quarterback, you know, wants to look at him. Why not? That's what I think.
Nick, what are you hearing about both college sports down in Rhode Island and the prospect of high school sports in the fall?
Well, I think there was a significant development this week for high school here in Rhode Island because Governor Gina Raimondo came out and said they want kids to return to school in late August. They want to bring kids back. And if that's happening, that tells me that, okay, the next opportunity would be for athletes to get back into their sports, get back on the field. And obviously you want to do it cautiously and safely, but I think that was a significant development. In terms of college sports, it's sort of been all over the place here. You know, the Dunkin' Donuts Center is the home right downtown to the Providence Friars. And, you know, the basketball team starts their season early November. Is the Dunk prepared to host fans? I'm not sure. We've heard maybe they would shut their doors for the rest of the year. I've heard that the Friars have put out feelers to Mohegan Sun in Connecticut, which is about a little over an hour from Providence. Maybe they play some games in their older gym, Alumni Hall, on campus. So I think everybody is trying to come up with contingency plans, and I think we're doing what we've done here for most of this pandemic shutdown, which is sort of just taking it day by day, week by week, month by month, and seeing where we're at and seeing how much more we can get back to closer to what is normal. So I'm not sure about college yet, but high school, I think I'm encouraged.
All right, there you go. Well, interesting times, to say the least. Hey, Nick, thanks. Always good to talk with you. Appreciate you being with us today.
Yeah, hey, always a pleasure, Rich. Good conversation today, and you guys continue to stay safe and healthy.
Right back at you. Thanks, Nick.
Thanks.
Nick Coyd of ABC6 in Providence.